Early to bed, early to rise. These assless chaps are burning my thighs. Welcome to Comedy Bang Bang. Thank you to PugFugly8He4 for that catchphrase submission. And I have to say, that one sounds a little familiar to me, too. I don't know whether I'm in my head about Tootie Butt, submitting a previously submitted catchphrase that I just repeated because I wasn't aware of it, but I feel like I'm in my head now about, is that one that I've done before? Are people now just submitting previously submitted catchphrases? I don't know, but thank you to PugFugly8He4 for that catchphrase submission, new or old, and welcome to Comedy Bang Bang for another week. We have a great show today. This is the final week of March. And coming up a little later on the show, we have a Hollywood director. We have a Hollywood actor. We have a comedian and actress. I mean, this is an entertainment-based show today. This is going to be star-packed and star-studded, both packed and studded with stars. So I could think of no one better to co-host this show with me than a person who is plugged into the Hollywood ecosystem. He is a producer. He has been on the show many, many times. I think he used to be with Gersh. He used to be an agent at Gersh. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure.
I was an agent at Abrams, Scott. I was a lit agent at Abrams.
Nothing at Gersh? This surprises me. For some reason, I have a...
I don't remember. Maybe the freaks have pointed out. Was I ever at Gersh? Okay. Someone tweet at me.
But he, of course, is a producer at Whisper Studios. He is also my co-host in the We've Got to Stop Talking TMNT on CBB podcast. Please welcome back to the show, Sprague the Whisperer. Hello, Sprague.
Oh, Scotty. Hold on. Scott. All right, I'm locked in.
Okay, you're locked into your character.
Yeah. Okay, I'm locked in. All right, so Scott, now, it's so good to see you, my man. How have you been, Scotty?
I've been really good. It's we haven't seen each other in a bit of time. I feel like we took a big break after the last TMNT episode.
And we stopped the record on that episode and we hit it. We did not say a word. We got up from where we were sitting.
We turned around, opposite directions, almost like we were in a gunfight.
Exactly. We might have had a Hamilton Burr situation happening, but instead we walked out opposite doors, got into our convertibles and just drove into the sunset.
Just drove away. I left Whisper Studios. I went back to my place. I said, I shall quarantine with Sprague no longer. It was a Hamilton Burr situation. Ooh, because it was icy cold.
It was too cold. But you know what, Scott? There's no love lost, of course, Scott. I love you. You're my best friend.
I think when you say no love lost, it actually has a bad connotation. Not
what I mean is that ultimately, no love was lost. The love is still there, Scott.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I of course love you. I don't say that enough to my guests. I love you,
Scott. It feels good to say. To
Why
be
are
honest,
you laughing when we say that. I love you.
It's because I'm giddy. I got to say, Scott. So a few things since we haven't
What's
talked
been
in
going?
A while.
Let's catch up.
Scott just clapped above his head here like he was doing like the walk like a Egyptian dance or something.
But you know that I'm very inspired by previous guest Susanna Hoffs.
he loves Hoff. Now, Scott, I want to, and I don't know if this has been happening to you, but I've got to talk to the listeners real quick.
Okay, please. Yeah, leave me out of this. Just talk right to the listeners.
Now, listeners, I'm speaking for myself. I'm also speaking for my client, Sean Diston. You know, I might be speaking for Scott Aukerman.
You still handle
well.
Him?
I still handle him. He's sort of, I got to say, he's right there on the edge. I might be getting rid of this.
He's either on the cusp of greatness or of being dropped as a client.
Absolutely.
Could go either way for
him. Client and forgotten. Now, Scott, let me just say to the fans, guys, I know Ninja Turtles are cool, but like my Twitter is just like people being like, hey, check out this turtle. Check out this.
Not even a Ninja Turtle?
Not even a Ninja Turtle, Scott. Sometimes it's just like, yo, this turtle gave birth in the San Diego Zoo. Check it out. Do you want to do a podcast about it? It's like, you guys, it feels like a threat at a certain point, Scott. I don't know how you feel about it.
Welcome to 12 years of that for me, based on the band U2, the band REM. Anything Wayne Gretzky related.
It's freaking me out, Scott. Fish. It's like somebody spray painted a turtle on the side of a building and it has nothing to do with the Ninja Turtles, but you've got to link me and my client Sean Diston to it and say, question mark, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? The fans want to know what you're going to do.
I don't know. Yes, there's a turtle eating some cabbage. What do you want me to do? Do a whole podcast? I mean, it's not the worst idea. It's not, Scott, but I wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. Just like, what am I supposed to do? There's so much turtle content. You guys, hey, look, you know, if a new book comes out or a new comic or something, okay, maybe hit me up with that.
Sure, a new movie.
Yeah,
What if that were to come out? Oh, man, we would mobilize.
If like an old clip of Jack Palance mentioning liking turtles or something, you don't have to send me that. I don't know what I'm doing with that. Where did he do that?
On the Oscars? In between those one-arm push-ups?
Honestly, that was just me trying to think of a random specific, but I could see someone sending me that and me looking at it for a long time and being
turtles.
Like, see, okay, if there was a clip of Jack Palance actually talking about the Ninja Turtles,
please send us those.
Send me that. I will do a pod about it. I will okay, do a whole sure. pod.
That is our promise to the listeners.
If
we
you
will
find me
do
a
one
Jack
for that.
Palance, even talking about, you know what, talking about any kind of turtle, I will do a podcast about it. I don't know if I can rope Scott to do it, but we've got to get the Jack Palance turtle. But look, what I'm saying is to the
Palance cast.
The Palance cast. Maybe we just go through.
Yeah. Maybe we just watch. We don't even do a podcast about it. We just watch City Slickers.
All right. We do watch City Slickers and we'll just have a good time, make popcorn and stuff.
Who replaced him in City Slickers 2? No one did.
I think he. So in City Slickers 2, he's in.
God,
it.
If only I had like a movie nerd.
An expert.
On
like
the
if
show.
There was a movie expert nerd. A guy, you know. But here's what I think happened, Scott. I believe he's alive when they made City Slickers 2. He dies. But then he plays his own brother, Scott.
That's right.
Who comes back and he's like, "I'm the brother, you know, Curly."
Do you think he would have done that if he had known that it would cause him to die mere years later?
I know they were like, "Okay, we can't." He was. I think he must have been like, "Okay, if I agree to do this, the irony of this is going to lead to me somehow dying in a way that
it's an equitable trade. I'll do it.
But you know what? Someone his age, he's like, you know what? I'm going to die. Why don't I trick people? Just have a fun thing where like you're rewatching it and you're like, City Slickers 1. Oh, Jack Palance died. So he couldn't come back for the second one. He probably died in real life between. And then when he shows up again, Scott, it's a huge twist.
These movies, like the first one is all about Billy Crystal needs to go find happiness. He needs to find his smile. He's got a horribly shitty life with a very rich looking apartment.
Yeah, he's like
typical
New Yorker needs to get his shit together. So what does he do? Goes try to be a cowboy for a weekend.
But then the second one is like, hey, there's gold buried somewhere. Yeah, now let's all get together.
I think the second one's better than the first. To me, this is like a Ghostbusters 2 situation. I also think that one's better
than
the
second. You think Ghostbusters 2 was better?
Mm-hmm.
What about the ghost on their patches that holds up?
I love a ghost saying peace.
Like he knows he's in the sequel.
I love a ghost saying peace. No, he's saying peace.
He's saying peace? Why did they change it then? What happened in between Ghostbusters 1 and 2 that they felt like they needed to get the message of peace out there?
That's a good question, Scott. I might have to go back. Maybe if there was a movie historian around, like someone who hosts
If
podcast,
only, but we don't have anyone like that on the show, of course.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to talk about that, Scott, because I am a bit freaked out by the turtle nonsense
on my
Twitter.
But talking about it is just going to make them send you more.
Oh, you think what I've done here is a terrible mistake?
Yes, interesting. Of course.
So I've come in here thinking I was going to solve the problem. What I really did was lit the match. Okay.
Of course.
Well, Scott, you know, I'm working on some new projects, Scotty.
Oh, I would love to hear about them because now for listeners who have not heard Sprague's previous appearances, you have a certain field of interest.
That's right.
A very narrow field of interest.
Isn't that right? Some people call them martial art movies. I call them ninja films.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, Scott, this new project I'm working on, it's kind of out of bounds for me. I don't really know what I'm doing here.
Okay, it's not about ninjas, you mean? It's not, Scott.
COVID's been weird. I've got sucked into this whole
new project. This is unprecedented.
It's crazy, Scott.
Is it? Please tell me it's about ninjas who do something different in their off hours. They're moonlighting ninjas who got left on the way.
Not new. That's not the case, Scott. No. I'm rebooting a little known show from the 1990s called Out of This World, Scott.
Out of This World. I think I remember it. It was a sitcom.
It was a sitcom. Now let me sing you a little song, Scott.
Okay.
Would you like to swing on a star? Whoa, carry moonbeams home in a jar. Whoa, and be better off than you are. Oh, or would you rather go to Earth? That's the beginning of the theme.
Thank you for that. Oh, okay. Thanks for explaining it. I just thought that you were. I thought we'd switch topics and you were singing.
No. That was just the beginning. An Earthling's a creature who's plain as can be. He's not as unique as you or me. His body comes in lots of different shapes. They say his relatives were chimps and apes. But if you'd like to take... Okay, hold on, Scott.
I feel like you started way too high.
I fell apart.
And you're reassessing here.
I fell apart. Hold on. I started way too high. Here we go. They say their relatives are chimps. But if you'd like to take...
now you start going even higher.
But if you like to take my advice,
this is like a Barry Gibb situation where suddenly you unlock a voice that you had no idea you had access to.
You could be better off on Earth. Wow, Scott, I almost passed out there.
Amazing. Wait, what is this show called?
It's called
Out of This World. Really are passing it. It's called Get some air.
It's called Out of This World, Scott. And it's a little known sitcom about a girl named Evie whose father is an alien voiced by Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds? Really?
That's right, Scott. It was an uncredited role because Burt Reynolds was doing a favor for the producer. So she would open up a crystal next to her bed and Burt Reynolds would show up and be like, "Hey there, daughter, how are you?"
Wait, we would see Burt Reynolds? His gum-chewing face?
No, you would just hear his voice. Oh, okay. You would just hear his voice. And he would be like, "Daughter, what's going on?" She's like, "It's my 15th birthday and I just got the power to freeze time." She's an alien who could freeze time.
Oh, okay. This makes... Okay.
Yeah.
She's half alien. That doesn't really happen to most of us on our 15th birthday.
No. She's half alien, Scott.
Right now, one of our guests is putting her
fingers together
as in like two dicks touching. Mm-hmm. What is this show?
It is Scott.
She wants to talk so bad, but I'm not going to let her.
It's not about two dicks touching, Scott. To me, it's one of the most most brilliant ideas. Look, we're bringing back every idea, Scott.
Sure, of course. Yeah. And to me, as the immortal Bard once said, there are no new ideas under the sun.
Did he say that?
Something like that.
I feel like he took that shit from somebody else, Scott.
Sting, maybe?
You know, Scott, it's funny to me because it's interesting that you don't know about this show, Scott. You've never heard of it?
Well, I have heard of it, but I believe that I was in college probably when it premiered, and so I was not watching a lot of TV at the time.
So it's something that you've kind of heard of, but don't know much about, and maybe could...
Now you're just angling for another show here.
I don't know. It's just one of those things, Scott. I brought it up. You seem interested in it.
Look. Okay. Yeah, it's sure. Like,
look.
Sure. Let's do it. What do you want to do? How many episodes are there?
We somehow squeezed
12 Turtles episodes out.
There's quite a bit, Scott. And I would say, you know, I don't know. We might have to take a look at that. But if it is something where we kind of feel like...
Are you short on rent? Why do you need me to do another show?
I don't know. It just feels like to me for the next few weeks, if it keeps coming up, it might be something we
I don't know that it's ever going to come up. We'll see if any of our other guests
bring it up. You don't think out of this world... Well, you better not bring Lauren Lapkus on. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. You know Lauren Lapkus?
Yeah, she was raised by TV, Scott.
Oh, okay. Is she a client? Do you represent her?
So I don't represent Lauren Lapkus. I represent someone named Lauren Krapkus. Now she is. because they have similar names, you know, we get a lot of the same offers. A lot of things coming by accident.
Krapkus, you know, I would imagine, Lauren Lapkus is offer only, and then people just think it's a misprint or a typo, and so they send you an offer.
Scott, I was so close to getting Krapkus in on the wrong Missy. We flew to Hawaii. We were there. We had signed some papers. And then they were about to shoot the first scene. And they were like, wait a minute.
Is Lauren Krapkus nothing physically or personality-wise?
No.
Like
she's
Lauren?
She's a 71-year-old black woman. But she's an incredible actor. I thought I'd just get her there.
Yeah, that's an upgrade.
Start shooting. They're like, she's electric. This Krapkus woman is electric.
Now, it's not Krampus, right?
No, it's Krampus, of course.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're not working with Krampus.
No, I would never work with Krampus, you know. Wait a minute.
That is the Whisper Studios guarantee. We will never work with Krampus.
I'll never. But wait, what are the things about Krampus? Like, if I needed to, like, watch out for it, what was it?
I think, well, he's German. I mean, always watch out for Germans.
Okay.
Just in general. But I believe he's German. He's some sort of a demon, and maybe he wears a Santa hat. Like, he's related to Santa. He's Santa adjacent, definitely.
I can't agree with you on the Germany thing, because I, of course, love rolling balls in Berlin. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Of course, yes. And those people, you're always going pre or post wall coming down?
I got to say, if I could have gone before the wall, I would have tested it out. But, you know, of course, I'm a post wall guy, of course.
Of course, yes. We all know that. That is heavily part of your
canon. We all know that. We all know that.
He's a post wall guy. Sprague is a post
wall guy, Scott. But, you know, I'm involved in this new project, of course, Scott. If you want to talk about it on a long, extensive podcast,
you're doing a reboot of it, or what are you changing?
I'm doing
about I barely know anything about it, the changes probably won't affect me or be surprising. But go ahead.
So it was a multicam, Scott, and I'm sort of pulling the similar.
So now
thing.
Even more cameras.
Yes, but that's not a bad idea.
Sort of like The Matrix. They're like, in a circle around
actually,
every
camera. Actually, I was going to remove some cameras, Scott. What I wanted to do was take this thing from the multicam format and turn it into a dramatized single cam. Sort of like what they're doing with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince, Scott. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Is that still going forward?
I don't know.
I saw that trailer.
I heard the script was a mess, Scott, and they had to throw the whole thing out.
Okay, well, who knows? But maybe your client, Sean Distin, can be
My client, Sean
Carlton
Distin's heard,
or something like that.
Yeah, he's heard through the grapevines that they're looking for a Carlton. He knows how to do the dance, of course.
How long did it take him to learn it?
I got to be honest, this dance has been a part of his life, his entire life.
You know what? I'm not surprised.
Let me tell you a quick story about my client, Sean Distin. Okay. he used to fly on planes as an unaccompanied minor, and his mother used to drop him off. Well, because he used to just fly to Jamaica. His parents were too busy to take his ass.
But so they still would let him go to Jamaica by himself?
Yeah, he would go, like, stay with his aunts and stuff. They'd pick him up at the airport.
Oh, okay, he had relatives there. He's not just chilling in Jamaica.
No, no. He wasn't just, like, at a resort or something.
Okay.
No, but they used to take him to the airport.
Down in sandals.
And his mother used to just drop him off. Good pull, Scott. Sandals is good pull. But his mother used to drop him off, and then the flight attendant that took him on the plane learned he could do the Carlton dance, and then brought him around the airport to every back room and said, check this out, this kid can do the Carlton dance. So I
and
did
was
the Carlton
he,
dance.
Was, no, so you did it, or your client did it?
This kid. My client, Sean Distin, of course, did it, but I think she
You're talking about a different time that you did the Carlton dance.
I know how to do the Carlton dance because he taught me.
Right. Oh, okay. Now, was he wearing a similar outfit to Carlton, or
no?
Isn't it like some sort
story,
of bow tie and a
no? If I remember the story, he looked a bit more like Urkel, and then one of the people said that, and then he instantly did a Steve Urkel.
He's willing to please.
But what were we talking about?
I don't know. But you were talking about what you were going to change.
Yes, of course. We're making it a single cam, Scott, and it's going to be very dramatic.
Oh.
Now, in the show, of course, she could stop time by putting her fingers together.
That's what the fingers together is.
That's what the fingers together thing is. So
is this like a Saved by the Bell stopping time kind of thing?
Where, a what little did bit. She what didn't did talk say? To the audience. I think he would just say freeze or something. Gosh, okay. If only we had some...
He would do a timeout.
He would do a timeout. That
a
just came to
from
me.
Our next...
That just came to me without any assistance from any of the freaks in the chat here. Yeah, so it's going to be a gritty single cam. And what I want is when she stops time, Scott, it's always to stop a horrific accident from happening. Of course, in the opening credits, a paint bucket was going to fall on her uncle's head. His name's Bino, and he's funny as hell. But she would stop time and, I guess, push him out of the way or something, and then they would just fall on the ground. I think it would be great if she, I don't know, tried to stop 9/11 or something.
Oh, okay. So this takes place in the past, or she puts her fingers together, realizes if she walks backwards, she can go backwards through time. And so she walks as far back as, 20 years ago.
This is why I got to get you abreast of this, Scott, because you're
once
I fill you in and I bring you in, Scott, I mean, the ideas start
flowing. The whole
flowing.
Thing just, yeah. That's I mean, brilliant. You and I, we have this chemistry.
I love it. So she puts her fingers together. She walks backwards in time to 9/11.
Yes.
And she and what does she do? She probably warns someone. How do you stop?
Well, here's the thing though. She's got to make sure that she walks backwards toward the Twin Towers, because otherwise, once she gets to the Twin Towers, what is she going to do? She's got to walk up the stairs, which is forwards. Unless she walks backwards up the stairs, maybe she takes the elevator. That's what she does. So she's standing in still
so
in place.
Good, Scott.
This solves all of our problems.
She cannot move
the
in the elevator,
circle, right?
She can't
which
move
act
in the
is
elevator.
This?
I think it's when they face the goddess.
This is the premise. Power of the premise. Promise of the premise.
See, I feel like a lot of people are listening right now and they're like, I have no idea what these guys are talking about. What is no all this idea. Stuff?
I think that's the show in general. No matter what week they listen.
But I think what you're hearing is the jazz of two creators, Scott, just yes. coming up with something brilliant.
It's almost like good jazz, which as we know is like bad other music.
Yeah. I've never heard that before, Scott.
Well, this is exciting. I want to be in on this. Maybe I'll
can't wait, Scott.
Yeah, I'll sequester with you back at Whisper Studios. And,
yeah, we may have to watch four seasons of a television show, Scott.
maybe we should do this at the Four Seasons.
Four Seasons and a Four Seasons. I like this, Scott. Four Seasons and a Four Seasons and a movie.
Yes, we'll switch over to Community after that.
I think that's a good idea.
At the Six Scott. Seasons.
This is a great idea. I'm glad we've got another project. I'll tell you why, Scott. I just missed you.
I just miss you, buddy. We have just that special thing going on. And so
we have the thing where, like, in the movie Avatar, you put your like braid in someone's back and you link up. You know what I mean?
Was it the back? I thought it was the butt.
If only we had someone here.
If only, but maybe, we don't. So we let's don't. Not even, we let's don't. Not even talk about it. Look,
damn it.
Sprague, we need to get to our guest of honor. Is that okay?
I'm sure you have other things going on, but I can't wait. Maybe a future client here, Scott.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, this is exciting. She has never been on the show before. She is a wonderful stand-up comedian. She is a correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and she currently is in a great animated series on Fox on Sunday nights called The Great North. Please welcome, first time on the show, Dulce Sloan.
Hello, friends.
Woo! Hello, friend. Dulce. How are you?
Hello.
So nice to meet you. You're using your hand to wave now instead of putting your fingers together.
Listen, I remember that show because I love that show. So it was like the girl's name was like Evie or something. Mm-hmm. She was like Bink, and then time would stop.
Even I know her name is Evie, because Sprague just said it.
But. Yeah,
it's right. But like, I love that show. There was like, I just looked it up. Apparently, there were six seasons of it.
So. Six seasons and a movie.
Wow, it's almost like we can't stop talking about it.
Let's get Dulce in this. What do you want to play in it? Do you want to play Evie? Who do you want to play?
Ooh,
now, bear in mind, we made the mistake when we were doing the Turtle Show of attaching Christian Brune to our Turtle reboot. Mm-hmm. And we had to figure out a way. And we finally just decided he was going to be that. What was he going to be?
He was going to be Krang's body. We'll cast someone else for the stomach.
We had a good back door for it.
I think you could be Evie if we were to do this thing over. I don't know how you feel about being an alien who has magical powers.
I'd be down for it. Usually I get cast as the mom. So it'd be really nice to play, a 15-year-old girl. I mean, I'm built about the same that I was when I was 15, so it works.
Did EV stand for something like electric vehicle or?
Great question.
It's EVIE.
EVIE?
Yes.
Okay.
Like an nickname. Kind of
so
like
that,
a, you
that
know.
Could be, that could stand for something as well. Electric vehicle in energy. Or,
well, it's like a fun. Well, maybe it's like a nickname off of Eve, where it's like, you know, like a Bobby or a Billy or kind
it
of.
It could
like,
be, but I guess sometimes I see something like that, like Alf, for instance. A lot of people don't know that stands for Alien I'd Like to Fuck.
I don't know if that's what it stands for.
I'm pretty sure it does.
I think it's Alien Life Form. To be honest, I've always heard it as Alien Life Form, but now I got to re-examine the show. Alien I'd Like to Fuck. Interesting.
Sure.
He's so too I just little wonder to fuck, though.
He is too little. He's like, that's fucked. That's like
nothing
you have one of those sex
too
dolls.
Little to fuck.
Okay,
wait,
Scott, we're cutting
you
that
know
up.
What? It's been so nice meeting y'all.
I don't mean young. I mean short.
You're going to get me canceled, and I just got on. You are not going to take me out with you, Scott Arthur.
Okay, you're not coming down with me. Dulce, let's talk about you instead of aliens. Although, I think Alf...
I love aliens, but I do not plan to fornicate with them.
What about Third Rock from the Sun? There's some good looking aliens in there. You got Joseph Gordon-Levitt just hit record Joe.
He was the little, I like the squinty eyed guy.
That's French Stewart, of course, our good friend French Stewart. I say good
Where's
friend because he was on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show on a day that I wasn't there.
That's a great question.
I'm a big fan of his.
Where is French Stewart? You're right.
Where is French Stewart? These are the questions that we need to be
asked. All signs point to France. That's all I have to say. I mean, it's like he wants us to find him.
It's a clue.
Was that his stage name? Was that a real name?
I don't know. That is a good question. Is his real name French Stewart? Is that something you're looking up, Sprague, because
You're damn right I'm looking up.
Because if his name is French, if there's not a brother named like Italian or something, I'm going to be real annoyed.
His name is Milton French Stewart.
I think after 9/11, he should have been called Freedom Stewart, don't you think?
Yeah,
Scott.
That's how that
now that's
happened.
Just that's inappropriate, Scott.
Inappropriate or hacky?
Hacky, you know it's hacky.
Yeah,
you know
the say other, that. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not here all the time. I can say it's hacky. I don't know. But your fans might cancel me. I don't know.
No. They love anyone I bring on. Of course, whenever you're on for your first episode, you know we have to tape your last episode. It's a lot like paying rent. We do your first episode, last episode. So after this one ends, I need you to stay on the Zoom and you'll have to tape your next one. So I hope that's
okay. I
got to
do a whole nother one of these?
Yeah, and it's the one where we say goodbye to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So because you can do as many as you want in between, but we need your last one immediately after you tape your first one.
Okay, well,
and you're going to have to really predict where your career is going.
Yeah, and how you feel about me. And
I can't tell you how many of these last episodes start with, well, I got an EGOT, of course, and I'm back to talk to Scott. Yeah.
Everyone always does that.
Well, listen, we talk to my publicist and we can figure it out.
But let's talk about you. You, of course, you're on The Daily Show. You're a correspondent. What type of stories do you do on that?
I do stories about current events, things that are happening in the world, things that are happening in the news, some things that aren't happening in the news. I have a segment called Count On It.
What is this?
Well, I talked about the census and how...
Did you say The Simpsons?
No, I think they've been getting enough press.
Yeah, The Simpsons get enough press, Scott.
We're talking about the 700th episode. They're still on fire.
But at least Hank Azaria finally got to rest. You know what I mean?
He's all right, at last he can rest. Job.
At last he can rest. No, like the Count On It, it was about the census, and it was how Black people and other people of color should take the census.
Yes, it's very important. I mean, if they come around knocking on your door, a lot of people don't want to take it because they're like, they don't trust it. But it's very important because then the federal government can allocate money towards you.
Or figure out ways to not allocate money towards you. Yes. So they have fun things that they like to do. I found out, I believe the term is called imputation, if that's right. It's some kind of form of that word. But basically, say they come to your door, yes?
Okay.
And you do not answer because I'm not answering my door because I don't know you. So what they do is they assume that whoever is living in that home is in the same demographic of
everyone else around
right.
them.
So I live in a predominantly white neighborhood. So if I don't answer my door, if I don't do the census, then they say that a white man lives here.
Ah, this is terrible. Here's what I think they should do. Because I look, personally, I'm never going to answer my door if it's a stranger.
True.
You know, some weirdo out there that I've never seen before. No,
I don't know. You just want to open my door.
But what if the census takers drove around in like something akin to like an ice cream truck that had like either a census song or some sort of speaker saying, don't be afraid, open your doors, we're the census.
That sounds
I'm
like
not
a
stranger.
Sounds like a setup. Sounds like a setup. Sounds
yeah,
like a
that,
setup.
Scott,
yeah.
I would immediately open fire at that.
We're not going to jail you.
Scott, as a proud black man, Scott, I would say, get out of my neighborhood. Oh, yeah, Scott, we haven't talked about this.
But what people don't know is that the census people won't come to your house if you mail the census back.
Yes. Wait, what do you mean? So if you mail it back, they're like, oh, we got this on lock. We don't
need
this. Yeah,
the only reason they come to your house is because they didn't get the paper back.
Well, a lot of people are afraid to send it back because they think that suddenly they'll be tracked or they'll...
There is actually federal legislation that says... Whatever is whatever information is on the census cannot be shared with the government, which I thought was suspicious because the census is done by the government. And why wouldn't the government tell the government what the government is doing?
Yeah, you're sending it to the government. They're not going to look at it when they open it?
Well, they can't. Like, if they're, say they're, you're like, say you have like a cousin who's been doing some unsavory things.
Okay. If Sprague, you relate to this.
Here we go. We're talking about my cousin Franklin. This dude, he doesn't fuck around.
Okay, Sean, first of all, stop.
I don't know who Sean is, but for me...
Yeah, you're getting confused. His client is
Sean,
of course.
My client's name is Sean. My name is Sprague.
Regardless of the name, stop draw snitching, right? So what I'll need y'all to do is in post, I need you to beep the name. Just go beep. You know, my cousin, beep. Like, just to, like, don't...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
You know what? I go to snitch on Franklin. This guy has been TPing my house, I'll say. It's personal. It's just personal. He's
this
my cousin.
This time it's personal.
This time it's personal. And he's my cousin. I'll tell you what. I don't... Fuck. All cops are bastards, okay? But if the neighborhood could rally and just maybe help me with the TPing,
wait,
this Franklin
I thought
guy.
ACAB stood for all cops aren't bastards.
Scott, Jesus Christ. Why would they make a phrase for that?
I don't know.
That's
don't
crazy,
know.
Scott.
Look, I'll say one thing you have to know about Sprague is he's a total fucking snitch. When I was living with him during quarantine, the cops constantly coming over. He was calling them on my ass if there was any noise after 10 p.m.
Here's the way I see it. I call the cops to make them fucking tired. I call them 20 times a day, send them to like the place where nothing's going on. And these guys are like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I know there's real shit to get to, but
they can tucker it out by 7 p.m.
I mean, honestly, Sprig, I was confused that you were calling them in the first place. Also, I thought ACAB meant all cats are beautiful. So
it should.
It absolutely should. So I didn't know.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you started working at The Daily Show, was it one of those things where you were like, oh shit, like there's a new level to everything that I had not learned? Or was it more just like, I was kind of already woke?
Well, this was the funky part about being a correspondent, right? Mm. Is that all of the big stuff Trevor Noah is going to talk about.
So he's covered it.
That's his job. That's what
you
do.
You can skip the first five pages of the newspaper usually. You're never going to be covering that.
That's all him. I'm the one with your special interest story sitting up, you know, holding a cat at an adopted place called Come Get This Animal. She needs to be adopted.
You know, The Daily Show is doing stories on cat adoptions.
They should be. Everywhere should be doing stories on cat adoptions. They're beautiful. They're beautiful creatures. They get bad press all the time. And
do you have a cat, Wilson?
I have two cats at my mama's house.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. If I had cats, I'd keep them elsewhere as well.
I'm allergic, so they got to be somewhere else for me.
Yeah.
Well, there goes me and Sprig ever being together. Yes, I have two kitty cats.
You said you're not going to get together with Sprague the Whisperer?
He's allergic to cats.
Hold on.
So that's just...
I thought...
Sprague, you had an opening. And you just...
I thought
you didn't
we
even register that she moved on from you.
I thought we were hitting it off. I was going to... Oh, the cat thing. This bites me in the ass a lot, I got to say. Mm-hmm. The second I mention I'm allergic to cats, most women are just like... Thank you, next, you know?
Yeah,
It's strange that women would rather be with cats than with a great, wonderful snitch like Sprague the Whisperer.
it's kind of hard to understand.
People really like dogs, and I'm not a fan. So.
You're not a fan? What do you know, I didn't used to like dogs until I got one. What do you not like about dogs?
It's a lot.
Yeah. What,
they're
the picking
a lot.
Up the poop or the just their whole energy level?
Well, I am technically afraid of dogs.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to be as well. Because I was chased by a dog when I was a newspaper boy. I used to be out there in the afternoons on my bicycle delivering the Orange County Register.
When is 1956? When were you delivering?
This story just really went back a few generations. I was on my bicycle and I was for the
They don't have bicycles anymore?
But yeah, you call it a bike.
The kid delivered papers. Is your father also the milkman?
I was a newspaper boy delivering papers.
It's not like I was wearing a newsy cap saying extra extra out on a street corner.
Honestly,
extra extra newspaper still hired newspaper boys.
I thought that was TV stuff.
Yeah. Oh no, people like me were actually I had a special bag for it, a canvas bag that went around my handlebars, and I would bicycle around the neighborhood throwing papers at porches. And I was chased by a very large dog, and it made me very frightened of dogs for a long time.
Yeah, and I had people sick dogs on me, so.
Really? Really? Wait, why would they sick dogs on someone as sweet as you?
Racism.
Oh, that's the answer to a lot of those types of questions.
It's pretty fucked up. Sometimes you're like, oh, what's going to be the fun, quirky answer here? There's something going on. Do you have a fun story? No, it's kind of just fucked up. It's just racism.
Dulce, I got to ask you about The Great North, because I'm a big fan of this show.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, there's Honeybee herself. Your character is Honeybee.
I love
Honeybee.
That design. That's so tight.
I helped design it.
Oh, you did? Really? What parts of it did you help design with?
Hair.
Okay, good. There's also a flower. There's a flower in the hair. Was that your choice as well?
No, I didn't know she had a flower in her hair until we did the first table read, and I saw like the cutout of her, uh-huh. And I was like, oh, they put a flower in her hair, because I have a flower in my afro and like my headshot. So they put the flower in her hair.
I love that you got to design the hair, because to me, it tells me a little story of these white animators in the room being like, all right, let's design this character. Here we go. We draw the character. Here we go. Perfect. Oh, the hair. What do we do here?
Right. And so,
shit. You know what? Let's call Dulce and make sure we get signed off on this, because we can't look like shit. You know, I think that's really fun. They checked in with you on that.
But show is it's sort of in the Bob's Burgers universe in a way. I mean,
it's the same people that do Bob's Burgers.
Same people that do, same animation studio, the Molyneux sisters, who are hilarious
people.
The Molyneux,
they're great.
They write it. My friend Kevin Sesha, it got him off the streets, because he's a writer on it. He was living upstairs for a while.
Yeah.
And,
so upstairs in your house is the streets?
Well, yeah. I live on a street. Yeah, of course. And
on a street, or do you live on the streets?
Hold on, Dulce.
Look, when we talk about these streets, Scott's not really going to know what we're talking about.
Okay? He doesn't. I mean, he don't know what he's saying.
You know, homie to homie over here, he don't know.
Wait,
about
are you
streets.
Are you talking Thanks, south Bruce. Of Franklin? No. I don't know anything. but he did. He was staying at my house for a while, and apparently, he had sex in my jacuzzi before I did. That's a rude.
So much of this man's business.
Tough. Shots fired. You might as well move.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
I hope
shots weren't fired. That was your jacuzzi.
No, I'm afraid he did. But so he was at my house for a while. But I'm so glad that he is a writer on the show, and it's a great show. It's tell us a little bit about it.
I love the show. So my character Honeybee, she meets her fiance, soon to be fiance, Wolf Tobin. He lives in Lone Moose, Alaska, and they meet on a movie catchphrase. A website, and she drives up from Fresno to be with him.
And your fiance is played by Will Forte. Who do we have? Nick Offerman is the head
Offerman
of the family.
Nick Offerman plays the dad, Beef Tobin, and then Jenny Slate is the daughter, Jenny.
You have, of course, our good friend Paul Rust, friend of the show.
He plays Ham Tobin, and then the youngest son, Moon, is played by Aparna Nancharla.
Our good friend Aparna as well. So a wonderful cast, great writers.
Sounds amazing.
And Megan Mullally plays Jenny's boss. And also
has
kind of like
a crush on Nick Offerman.
Yeah, kind of like.
Contractually, there's something in their contracts about they have to be horny for each other 24 hours a day. Is that what's wrong with those two?
When they're working? One
it's
of my
very
favorite
weird. It's like I've never seen two hornier people who then have to put it. They have to like shove it in our faces. Does that happen?
I mean,
at
you
the
just
read-throughs?
Met me, so you know.
Okay,
you
I'm
know.
Sorry. Okay, I don't know how horny you are. We'll find out later.
Check back in 6 months. Has it been thrown in your face how horny Dulce is?
And when we tape your last episode as well, you'll have to tell me how horny
listen,
you are.
There's horny, and then there's in heat. And your girl, always in heat, baby boy. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're also a great stand-up comedian. You really run the gamut of wonderful jobs. Correspondent, stand-up comedian, voiceover actress. Dulce Sloan is on the show. We need to take a break, if that's okay. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to a big Hollywood director and a big Hollywood star. And not to say that neither of you are neither of those things, but Sprague,
you're kind of really leaned into the big part of that, as though there weren't anyone big on the show before. You're talking to some working people here. I mean, Dulce is on The Daily Show. That's a huge show, Scott.
That's a huge show, but you're like a working class snitch. And so,
You know what, Dulce? You gave this guy the cosign to call me a snitch, and I'm not liking it.
Listen.
Well, then change your actions.
I I didn't think he would hit it so hard, friend. That was not my intent.
It's okay. I did not come stitching
with malfeasance. I was not trying to come, you know, to divide the family.
You're right. You know what? I am a snitch. I deserve it. You can call me a snitch all you want.
But look, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have the Hollywood director, Hollywood actor. We will be right back with more Sprague the Whisperer, more Dulce Sloan. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this. Comedy Bang Bang, we are back. We have Sprague the Whisperer here, of course, of Whisper Studios, which essentially is a cave. I got tired of that cave life. That's mainly one of the reasons that I left.
I abandoned the cave as well. We're reforming somewhere on the Sony lot. Yeah, I can't do the cave shit anymore.
No, not the Sony lot. I can't get there every day.
It's a long drive, but we're going to have to do it, Scott. I'm sorry.
Dulce Sloan here from The Great North on Sundays on Fox.
I still here.
And The Daily Show, which, as far as I'm concerned, it's only on 4 days a week, you know? Shouldn't it be the 4 days a week show or what?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
It comes on every day that it comes on.
Oh, that's Scott, what they're referring
to. That's what they mean. Daily, when the show comes on, it does come on.
It comes on.
I've been banging my head against the wall on that one, and now I feel like, okay, now I understand.
Now it all makes sense. God, this is like the doors of perception.
Can I ask you a quick question, Scott, before we bring in these guests? Dulce, can you do me a favor? Can you do the voice from your character on Up North? Can you just do like a quick voice? What's the voice sound like?
The Great North.
The Great North, yes.
Honeybee. It's
this is the
one of my favorite
like
things
Scott.
For me to or for, that yeah, I did for her was.
Should take notes on how one can get into character.
Let me show you how I get it. Sometimes when I'm getting to character, I say the name Scott a few times. I say Scott. Scott.
Hey,
was that it? That was great.
That was it. Yeah.
She's real happy. So, like, my favorite line from her was when she goes, "I'm moving to Alaska." So
that's fun. Oh, you know what? I'm glad I asked because that's the vibe I was looking for. I want a feel good show where black women moving to Alaska.
Everyone is very optimistic and close knit. It's a close knit family. Also, Alanis Morissette is in the show.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Alanis Morissette plays Judy's. I kept mixing
sort
Jenny
of mentor,
Slate
but she plays herself, but her she imaginary plays, friend in a way.
Alanis Morissette is basically the Atlantis Borealis that is Judy's imaginary friend. And she, you know, she steps out on her roof and, you know, gets advice from her, you know, famous singer.
And it usually has something to do with lyrics of Alanis Morissette songs.
Yes, they had one that I didn't get. Where Alanis goes, "Judy, I have one hand in my pocket and my other hand is very proud of you." And I was like, "Ugh, I'm going to have to Google this."
I'm going to have to go hit Spotify up and listen to some songs.
Well, luckily for you,
Scott's going to know immediately what it is.
The minute you type in hand in pocket, you have it right there.
That's the name of the song.
Or you get a very interesting Google search.
Oh, that is true. That is true. You have a new kink.
Wait a second, Scott, hold on. I just looked at who's waiting to come onto the show. And I can't freaking believe we're sitting here talking about... This is crazy. No. Hold on.
Wait, who's coming on the show? All I know is there's a director and an actor.
Okay, I want you to look at that. Just look over here. When you look where it says participants, Scott.
I haven't figured out this Zoom yet.
Yeah, hit
you
got
to go down to the bottom, and then when you see
now
the
look
stop,
who's
stop
joined.
Video, do I press stop?
No.
Look at the little
now
dots.
Now look who's joined. We're over here talking about all this nonsense. We're talking all this shit.
We got to introduce this guy. Everyone knows just who he is just by looking at him. He spread his arms at the Oscars and declared himself the king of the world in a move that was definitely not self-centered and we all loved and thought more of him rather than less of him. He is the director of such films as Terminator 2 Judgment Day, where they started, they created the technology of morphing. Aliens and of course
he invented
we all know
Aliens.
He made Aliens, he made The Abyss, a lot of A movies, including Avatar, which is we have some sequels coming out soon. God, please welcome to the show, James Cameron.
Scott, hello.
Wow.
Scott. Oh my God, the gravitas.
Scott. The electricity of a Scott hello. Scott. I can't believe that.
This is incredible.
I'm very excited to be on the show, Scott.
Oh my God.
I've been listening. And everything you've been talking about is right in my wheelhouse.
What's been in your wheelhouse, James?
Out of this world?
You know about it. James, I'm rebooting this thing.
This is a show that touched on all of my themes. I make films about aliens and about people who use time to solve problems in unorthodox ways.
Well, you know, we, and when I say we, Sprague and I are doing this together.
Yeah.
We need to attach a director. I don't know if you're free.
Well, actually, I have to, and maybe we'll make some news here because I'm currently working on the Avatar sequels. One of the Avatar sequels is going to be tying into the Out of This World universe.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Because this is insane.
The Na'vi were actually, I actually named them the Na'vi as a tribute to Evie.
So Evie Na'vi.
Will meet the Na'vi.
It was there from all along.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask about the unobtainium?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
People were able to obtain
Hard to get.
Can I ask if the unobtainium, the naming of this,
yes,
in the creative process, was this like a 4:30 on a Friday decision?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it gave me a little.
Yes, but it was the very first Friday that I ever thought about Avatar. Okay. It wasn't part of.
Why wasn't the planet called First Draftium?
We'll get to this laterium.
I never once considered another name for it. And I don't want to reveal too much about what happens in the Avatar sequels, but unobtainium will still be very hard to get a hold of.
Yes, I'd wondered.
You got to give it to the fans, you know.
I thought you were going to make the unobtainium so easy to get, but it's still so hard.
No. I guess I can go ahead and reveal this, that in Avatar 2, unobtainium will be on backorderium.
Oh my God. This is huge.
That's the plot.
This is crazy.
It's on backorderium. Can I say, Mr. Cameron, what are you, why come here today? Are you just dropping bombs about the sequels? Like,
why are you making news on this show?
Why Comedy Bang Bang? Why not hit up Deadline? They love making news.
Why did you go to WTF? People make news on that show.
It's a victory lap. We're hitting up every show that we can.
Who's this?
Yes,
Who's this?
Is Jake Sully. This is Jake Sully, the main character.
You brought
character.
Jake Sully with you?
Yes, yes.
From the Avatar movies?
The real Jake Sully.
I'm the star of Avatar. Scott, you said I was an actor from a movie. That's not true.
Not true.
What are you? You're a character from a
the
movie?
The biggest movie star of all time.
I guess
so. Is this the boy that get put in the pod? And he almost died.
I'm the thing that comes out of the pod. A perfectly photorealistic American blue CGI alien.
Wait, that's not a Snapchat filter?
No.
He's real.
Hold on. I'm freaking out.
Okay, so you occupied the body. Right. Did you colonize from within? Because it sounds like you colonized from within.
This sounds like some Get Out shit. Hey, get out.
You got get outed.
He gets in. Jake Sully gets in.
Did you think of calling Avatar Gets In?
That's so bad.
None of my ideas were ever considered otherwise. That is one thing that you should know about me is if you have a lot of questions about whether or not I had any doubt in any aspect of anything.
We could just save those questions. The answer is for sure. Everything that we have experienced about Avatar, that was the way it should have been and was always. There was never any. Wow, that's crazy that you work that way. Because I do a lot of rewrites, James. You don't do that at all?
No, occasionally I will tell other people if I'm working on something, if I'm producing something and someone else is writing something, I'll say, you need to rewrite this. That's the most rewriting I ever do.
And you need to get it to the way I've always imagined it and will always, you know, just get it to your. You're a fascinating guy, Mr. Cameron. Can I call you Mr. Cameron?
You can call me Jim.
Wow, that's Jim.
That's very
personal. If we get real fun together, then you can start calling me Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
I won't sign off on that yet.
Well, will you let us know when that happens? Will you give us like some sort of a wink or a nod? Or
no, I'll tell you. You'll know.
Wow. Oh, okay. So there's no Jimmy wink
about it. Yeah, but right now we're at Jim.
Okay, Jim.
I came here to gloat because Avatar is now the number one movie of all time.
Biggest movie of all time. We reclaimed the crown.
Is it?
Right. So for the listeners, Avengers Endgame had taken the crown for a while. As the highest grossing film of all time. And now Avatar somehow recently overtook it. How did that happen?
They re-released it. We re-released the film in China, the only healthy box office market in the world. And we are now once again the number one highest grossing film of all time.
Well, why doesn't Avengers Endgame release it in China again? And, you know, I mean, it seems like you guys would be at a detente where each of you will just keep re-releasing the movie over and over again.
They wouldn't fucking dare.
All right, settle down.
I can't speak to their motives. I can't speak to their motives, but my assumption is the reason they won't do that is because they're cowards.
Who? Captain America or
Marvel? All of them.
Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Avatar, worldwide lifetime gross $2,833,679,794. Avengers Endgame, $2,797,501,328. A pittance.
Wow. Can I get straight on who you are exactly?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't wanted to ask too many questions about it to puncture
reality. I'm having trouble. So what's happening here? So you are a CGI character, of course.
Correct.
Now, you were created for the movie. Did you gain sentience in that way?
Like, absolutely. What exactly? James Cameron always changes the game.
Such a good job making the movie that he is real.
People were not exaggerating when they said it was the greatest special effects movie of all time because it created life.
Yes.
American life.
Yeah, you're not Sam Worthington then? Is that
no,
his name?
No, fuck him. No. He wouldn't.
He was a stand-in. He was essentially served as a glorified body double.
Yes.
And what I did is I became a real life digital Geppetto. I made a real boy.
Well, let me say this. Look, I wanted to say this to you, Jim. I love the idea of these new Avatar films, but might be a better movie in this digital Geppetto thing you're talking about. Like, the story of bringing a digital avatar to life, like, maybe that's the movie I want to see.
Well, I have good news for you, because eventually we're going to make so many Avatar movies that every Avatar movie you could ever have wanted will exist. Right now, Avatar 2 is complete. Avatar 3 is almost complete. We are working on Avatar 4 and 5, and I'm here to announce Avatar 6, 7, and then there will be 8, 9, and 10. I will never stop making Avatar movies. We're going to make avatars all the time.
Whoa, this is incredible. I mean, after 11, you're probably going to stop, though, right? After 11?
No, I'll never stop.
Imagine
an avatar. We're already working on it. We're almost done with most of them.
So you'll have infinite avatars for any thought that an Avatar movie could be?
That's literally the name of one of the Avatar movies, Infinite
That's crazy.
Avatars.
I don't know how that's going to work. You're going to die before you get this thing done.
No,
you know?
I will never die. I'm king of the world. The king of the world can't die. I will never die.
I see.
I have created, my son will never die because he is made of billions and billions of beautiful blue ones and zeros.
That's me. My daddy's James Cameron. He could beat up your daddy in a submarine.
Does ALF stand for alien I'd like to fuck?
It does to me.
You're talking about Gordon Shumway?
Y'all know all of these names. I don't know no names. I know Gordon, Angela Bassett.
Gordon Shumway is the name of ALF. That's his proper name. He's from Melmac. And the reason he likes to eat cats is because that's a euphemism.
Oh, he's a pussy ham.
Yes.
So he does want to fuck.
Yes.
So we were on the right track. This is an alien.
ALF is out there eating pussy every night?
That's right.
What?
Ah!
Somebody call DJ Khaled.
the audacity of that man. That
he doesn't
man.
Eat box. He doesn't eat box, but she has to reciprocate because he's the king.
She ain't reciprocating. She starts
I don't know how you're saying
he ain't
that.
Finishing it.
Wait, are you like into that? I don't know. You were just reciting that information. What's
no,
your take on
disgusting.
That?
No, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Oh, okay. You never become the biggest movie star of all time with that behavior. I offer cunnilingus to every star of every other film on the 100 highest grossing movies of all time.
Oh, every other film?
That's not cool behavior.
Are you
it's
going
just an
on
offer.
Or
it's just an offer.
All of them, all the other ones other than the one that I'm in. I didn't
okay,
mean
well,
every,
you said
other,
every other
alternating.
Film.
I understand.
Really
my word choice was confusing.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of dating because you're not a real boy? Is that
I am. I'm a real man. I'm Jake Sully, leader of the Na'vi. I'm better than them.
Do you have sex organs? I mean, like, I know in Avatar, all the Na'vi, they stuck their ponytails into each other's butts.
He's holding up a ponytail here for the listening
audience. Okay, so is that your thing? Does that give you pleasure to stick it up someone's butt?
Yeah, it does. I'm kind of pulling a Jeffrey Toobin on this Zoom right now.
Oh, this is gross.
Stop playing with your ponytail. Look, wait, we have to go to a break. We have to go to a break.
Dulce, you might not know who Jeffrey Toobin is. That was definitely something Trevor Noah covered, and then
Trevor knows who he is. Just ask Trevor about it. Look,
it's a page two story.
we need to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be still talking to James Cameron. There's so much that we need to talk to James Cameron about.
And Jake Sully, the biggest movie star of all time.
I don't know that we'll be talking to Jake Sully all that much, but we'll also have Dulce Sloan, and we will have Sprague the Whisperer. We'll be right back with more Comedy Bang Bang after this.
Okay, so here's what happened. He was on his Zoom and he was masturbating, right? And then
Back to Comedy Bang Bang.
I was explaining the Jeffrey Toobin thing. Sorry.
Yeah, no idea.
I remember this.
Maybe you don't know his name.
There's
but
so many men being in inappropriate places. Yeah. You just can't keep up with them.
Just remember his name as a verb, and then you'll remember. It's like a sort of a mnemonic trick there.
Gone Toobin.
Meanwhile, we have Jake Sully over here playing with his dingle dongle, his little braid. Did you braid that yourself?
Yeah, of course I did.
You did, okay.
Well, no, I mean, look, I was rendered this way. If you're asking in canon, within the Na'vi culture, one has to learn how to braid themselves, but this is the benefit of being a CGI.
Did you just wake up in that movie? Is that your earliest memory?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm one of the few people where my birth, my first moments of life, are captured in the highest grossing film of all time. I say
one of the few? Who are the others?
Because also on that list, every other Na'vi.
We didn't see their births in the movie.
What you think.
Are there baby Na'vi?
Of course there are.
Did they just come out of, well, if you fornicate with
your partner?
Do they
come out of the butts? The braids are in the butts.
No, the braids are in the back of the head. The babies come out of the butts. James, do you want to field this one? I didn't know we were going to get into anatomy.
Yes, the babies come out of the butts.
Okay. And that was always, you know what? I'm not going to ask.
Yes, I remember on that Friday at 4:30 when I thought of it.
This
is the same Friday, isn't it?
It was a great week.
How many things were thought of on that Friday at 4:30? All of it?
Many of them.
Okay. Were you at a TGI Fridays, by the way? You were just enjoying the happy hour?
I might have been. I remember nothing except the world that I birthed that day.
Pandora!
Pandora.
The world of Pandora. So it's you, Jack Daniel's wings, Apple Martini.
Yum, yum.
This sounds like a James Cameron kind of vibe.
And you were like, yes.
Can I ask you a question? What do you do when you're not, like, in the movie? Like, you know, you're here now, you're sort of hanging out.
How do you exist? Because we're not in the movie, are we? Or are we in the sequel right now?
No, I hope not.
I didn't sign anything.
I spent about 11 or 12 years just texting Jim on a weekly basis, just going like, hey, how are the scripts coming? Any progress? And he'd be like, oh, it's not 2 anymore, it's 2 and 3. And I'd be like, cool, the sooner we could start 2, the better. And he'd be like, great, we added, it's 4 now. And I'd be like, would love to just get started on 2, do those other ones later.
So you're not doing anything this whole time?
No, Jake is being modest. The true answer is that Jake Sully does whatever he wants.
Right. So mostly I live in Silver Lake. Okay. I'm on TaskRabbit.
Right.
So you do have small time jobs. You do things. You hold stuff down.
Are you like
groceries.
A gig economy worker?
Gig economy.
Or?
Yeah. No, it's I will say, I mean, it's very hard to get cast as a Na'vi in Hollywood. You would think being the star of the highest grossing film of all time, doors would open. But really, only Avatar films are interested in casting 12-foot tall, sexy cat aliens.
Well, it's like that movie Garfield came out. It's one of the biggest movies of the year. Do you see Garfield in other movies? No.
He doesn't book. He does not book.
He was going to be added to the Fast and the Furious team, but apparently him and Tyrese had some tension, so they couldn't be on the same set.
If you won't work with a legend like Garfield, come on, baby.
Even John Arbuckle would work with him.
I know.
And John Arbuckle's been dealing with him and his lasagna habit for years.
And he does it.
But here's the thing. It's like, I understand why it's hard for someone like you to work, you know, because they're the Tyreses of the world that just don't want to be upstaged by a CGI cat man, you know?
Jim, do you think we should make our big announcement here today?
Whoa.
There's another.
Yeah, I think so.
Already announced.
You've already announced infinite avatars and.
We'd like to announce a new cast member being added to all Avatar sequels.
Whoa.
Garfield the Cat.
Wow.
What? What?
Wow.
This is huge.
This is giant news.
Outreach. I did hear Normal audition, but you know what? It is glad to see that Garfield got the job.
Wasn't a fit.
Avatar 2. Avatar 2. We're announcing the title of it. A Cabatar. All cats are beautiful. And all Garfield the beautiful. Cat. Garfield the Cat will be joining the Avatar universe.
This is incredible. As what? Is he a Na'vi? Is he going to be blue? I mean, he's got those wonderful orange stripes.
He's going to be blue, baby.
Wow.
Okay.
Get ready for a
blue
Garfield.
It sounded like we wanted him to be orange. You know, the fans maybe wanted, but you decided on Friday at 4:30 that he used.
No, there was no question that Garfield, if he was going to be an Avatar, it would be a blue Garfield to distinguish the previous era of his life, which
my hope is
that there will be, it's a tale of two Jims, really, because there's Jim Davis and then there's Jim Cameron. And from now on, people will think of the Jim Davis Garfield as the orange Garfield and the blue Garfield as the Jim Cameron Garfield.
Are you giving me the Jim wink? Can I call you Jim now?
You can call me Jim, but you hold the M at the end. Like, hold it like a hum.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah.
What about Jim Belushi? Should he be involved in this? Three Jims?
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this.
I think we should say it. Why Belushi, hold back any secrets?
Jim Belushi will be in Avatar 3, not Avatar 2. Avatar
only
3.
Yes! Only 3.
Okay, hold on.
In Avatar 4, we are bringing back Curly and Duke Washburn from the City Slickers movies. They are going to be Na'vi. They will be in the film.
This is a good thing. I mean, this is mind-blowing.
Wait, why are we acting surprised? Hold on, let me try something out. Let me see. Is Barack Obama going to be in one of these sequels?
No, he's not an actor. Why would he be? He's a,
because he's beloved.
A former president.
Avatar 22. All of the Obamas.
What?
Wow. Okay.
All of the Obamas.
Yeah, okay, this
you
makes
asked
sense. If Barack Obama was in the film, and I said no, because the Obama family is in the Avatar universe.
Okay, yeah. That's very tricky. Jake Sully.
Wait, I got an idea. Hey, I heard that in Avatar, like, 3 or 4, my client Sean Distin shows up in a very well-paying role.
That's correct.
What's his part? Does he have a fun part? Does he do something where he, like, his eyes get open wide?
Or does,
like,
he just play the butt that a braid gets stuck in?
Yeah, one or the other. What do you think? What's his part?
He does play a butt.
Typecast again.
A braid does get stuck in him.
Okay. You know
and
what?
He
he's
will
working.
Be well paid.
Well paid.
Okay, good. Hey, you know what? Right. That's good for me because I get 10%.
He'll get points.
Do you ever want to do anything that's not an Avatar movie ever again? I mean,
what?
I saw Avatar. It was 2009. It was fine. I mean, I kind of got snookered into watching it in 3D because 3D was supposed to be great then. And so everyone paid like double to see it in 3D. And I mean, honestly, that's why,
Scott,
that's
I'm
why
so
it's
sorry.
So financially successful,
Scott,
is because
I'm
we all
sorry.
Paid for 3D. What's
so
going on, Jake? Sorry,
you got snookered into having the best time you've ever had in a movie theater.
I mean,
I'm
look,
so sorry you got snookered into being transported to the world of Pandora.
I'm not going to lie. I was there with two friends and each of us took separate naps. We took three separate naps at different times.
Was it one where you were like, wake me, I'll wake you up in an hour. You
sure,
sleep.
Yeah.
That
it
I
was like
take.
We were on watch. Guarding watch
we'll
on
all
the
explain
wall.
What happened in the ride home.
Yeah, exactly. So, you,
you
know,
on
I,
watch
I
while
mean,
trying to watch a movie.
I get that you, maybe you like Pandorium or whatever the hell it is, but
no,
I mean,
Pandorium is what Pandora is made of.
Jesus.
Okay, great, but I feel like the rest of the world has moved on a little bit, don't you think?
Well, here's the thing. I would understand if I was coming to you saying I'm going to make four more Avatar movies, that would be a legitimate question. Because you think, oh, do you really want to make four more Avatar movies? Because you think, well, there's only so many things, only so many stories. What are they going to do? They're going to go to the bottom of the ocean, obviously. They're going to spend some time at the bottom of the ocean. They're going to swim around at the bottom of the ocean. Obviously, that fills
obviously,
up
the
three
very
or four
tippy
movies.
Top of the clouds.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, JJ, do you honestly want to just make four
JJ.
More
it's
avatars?
It's his nickname that you'll never use.
And I thought, no. I thought, what's cooler than five avatars?
A billion avatars, like in the, you know, like in
that. Like, movie. Yes, exactly like in that. Yeah.
Like in that other movie that is really old, that people don't really care about anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, and we're going to be, all of the sequels to The Social Network will be Avatar movies that I will be making.
You know, I think you're out of control, Jim, but I'm here for it, to be honest.
Well, look, Jim, I don't know.
I think that butt just got added into a few more Avatar movies.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow. You tell your client.
I'm collecting 10% on those, baby.
Stunt butts? Is it stunt butts? Well, you got to paint his butt blue. Is he a stunt butt?
Oh, yeah. Does he have to paint his own butt blue, or can you just change it to blue somehow with technology?
I could change it, but I will give him the option if he wishes to paint his own butt blue.
Whatever helps his process.
If we can work the Carlton dance in there, I kind of feel like this is the perfect role for this guy.
Does he do an Urkel?
Oh, you better believe he does an Urkel.
Oh, yeah.
And we're saying some of the deeper cuts, like got any cheese, that kind of thing.
And they'll say, just so you don't feel left out, one of the avatars takes place in Alaska.
Oh!
And guess who's there? And guess who's there?
Because then they have to figure out how to put some clothes on because it's cold.
Yeah, but guess who's there? Guess who's there?
Who?
What? Honey. There's a certain character.
Honey. Don't tell me. Bee. Don't tell me.
Honey Bee.
So is Honey in an Bee avatar. Is welcoming the avatars to Lomu's, Alaska.
That's
and
right.
She is their ambassador to the humans, where she teaches them very quickly that they should leave as soon as possible. Because if other people see them, not me, but if other people see them, they'll probably murder them.
Yeah. Oh,
is it Friday at 4:30? Because we just wrote an Avatar.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Now I see how it works.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, this is an historic show. We broke so much showbiz news on this. Mm. But unfortunately, even shows such as this need to come to an end. We only have one final feature on the show, and that is, of course, a little something called plugs. Okay, that was Bed on Fleas by Acid Family. You know, I mean, a few weeks back I said, hey, why do all these plug songs always, the lyrics are always about plugs? And then people started sending songs that were plug songs, but they weren't about plugs. Now I feel like people have segued into just sending me album tracks from their albums and they want to get played on the show.
I don't hate it, Scott. I think they were saying something about plugs in there, but man, that was...
I don't think so. It was Bed on Fleas. They just kept repeating that over
I'm bringing that shit to Germany next time I go to Berlin. We're gonna
roll definitely. All right, guys, what are we plugging? Dulce, what do we have out there?
I'm on The Daily Show when I'm on, and I... The Great News...
So wait, why don't they call it The Dulce Show? Because when you're on The Daily Show, you're on it.
No.
When The Daily Show is on, it's on.
It's The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah's on daily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So
it's
you're
the
on-
When She's On show with Dulce Sloan.
I'm on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah when I'm on.
Got it. Okay.
Because some days
I understand this. Right. Understand now.
And then there's The Great North that comes on every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And then I'm on this podcast.
You're on this one right here, yeah.
Yeah, so, this one. I've done this podcast. Yeah.
And your last episode will be coming up whenever, you know, down the line, whenever, you know, we're wrapping up the show. Your final episode will be there. You'll probably sing something to me. You'll shed a tear and talk about how meaningful our relationship is.
EGOT awards and which ones you got. You got the Emmy or Grammy.
Yeah, you know, just talk about my kids and, you know, just really come on and be like, I'm so... You know, being a mother, you know, just as someone.
This is going to be a great last episode. I've got to say.
Oh, my God. Everyone's got to tune into that. Hopefully a few years down the line, and you'll have several more in between.
Yeah, you know, several more years, several more humans. You know, whoever gets in between and puts, you know, you just got to
make
sure.
They're not going to stop making humans, I'll tell you that much. As much as James Cameron would love it if they did, and they just made Na'vi. Speaking of whom, James. Yeah, stop playing with your goddamn braid.
It's gross.
James Cameron, Jake Sully, anything you guys want to plug?
Well, obviously Avatar 2.
Yeah, I felt like you might say that.
Sure, yeah. For sure.
But also, I also would like to get a plug in for Avatar 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Also, if people are looking for entertainment, the George Lucas Talk Show on Sunday nights on planetscum.live. It's a 4-hour long show. I believe you've been on it, Scott.
I have been on it. Yeah, that's right. You know, that reminds me, you have a certain George Lucas kind of whole vibe about you.
Oh, you're saying all billionaire directors look the same?
I'm wow. not saying you look the same, just your...
Sound the same? Have similar same. Comedic rhythms?
Yes. That's a big 10-4, yes.
I don't know what it is about being a billionaire director, but yeah, all of your jokes seem to land the same way.
Also, I'd like to plug the podcast Dead Eyes, which is a podcast by Connor Ratliff about
about the time that he auditioned for Band of Brothers and was cast
in Band of Brothers and then was fired by Tom Hanks.
By Tom Hanks using his Gump voice.
The day before he was supposed to start filming, this young man was fired. The reason he was told was that Tom Hanks had looked at his audition tape and thought that he had dead eyes.
That's right. And Tom Hanks told him that while on the big piano, jumping around from key to key. Isn't that right?
I'm not familiar with the details of it, but it's a heck of a podcast.
By the way, that story is what inspired JJ to use CGI to create his own Na'vi race so he could create actors who had the most alive eyes ever.
Since the Polar Express.
Yes. Perfect motion-captured eyes.
I mean, Tom Hanks... alive eye thyself in the Polar Express. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that ever come up on Dead Eyes?
Oh, stay tuned.
You go to take down Polar Express, huh?
All right.
Y'all gonna talk about how creepy that movie look? Because that movie, creepy. Oh, I do want to promote a podcast. Oh, there is a podcast called Wow Rude with Madison Shepherd and Danielle Perez. They are very good friends of mine. They are wonderful women of color in Los Angeles. And my name comes up quite frequently because they're my best friends.
Okay, so they're telling stories about you or they're...
They're just, you know, they're really here to get the tea, set the tea, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's high, it's low, capital, lowercase.
So Wow Rude, is that what the show is
called? Wow Rude, yes.
Wow Rude, all right. You can get that anywhere the podcasts are sold.
Anywhere the podcasts are sold, batteries not included. You will need a
batteries
supervision.
Not included, by the way. That's something I've never seen, Sprague.
All right, we have
You've
to
never seen batteries not
you.
Included?
Never seen it. Yeah, and it has a little asterisk. One of the only movies to have an asterisk other than 61, maybe?
61
Yeah,
like
I think
porn.
61 has it, and it's just those two. And 61 makes sense because it's about the amount of home runs someone hit. Is that right?
Something like that. But in any case, one of our guests is sitting there like going through the, the Rolodex in his brain. I'm going to look it up. Sprague, do you have anything you want to plug here?
Of course.
You have so much going on.
Of course. I've got the reboot of Out of This World coming up, of course. We've got a lot of rewrites to do. Maybe I'll figure out a new version of the song. Dulcie, you're involved. And, of course, you can check out my client's Patreon at patreon.com/shondistin there. Of course, me and your Ninja Turtles podcast
All episodes are up there. I believe we did 12 episodes. They're all up there for your binging pleasure.
Yes, we've got episodes with Bobby Moynihan, Michael Ian Black. We've got Ify Nwadwe.
Tatiana Maslany.
We've got a star-studded podcast. If you want to pay $5 and just listen to all of it in 1 month, go ahead. We're also selling t-shirts, Scott. Of course, we have the Futures Female Splinters t-shirt on TeePublic. And if you want to buy one of those shirts every month, we're donating all the proceeds to a different charity. So
it's most confusing t-shirt you will ever buy. It's a picture of Splinter with the words, "The future is female."
I will say someone did send a picture of him with his like newborn daughter being like, "So glad I could bring my daughter into this world." And I was like, "Wow, I am a cancer." So yes, if you buy a Splinter t-shirt, we're donating all the money to charity, and you can follow my client Sean Distin online to see where he donates it.
So the Splinter isn't giving you like a Lola Bunny.
No, he's not dressed. It's just purely a picture of Splinter in a bathrobe, I think.
It's a picture of Splinter in his classic robe.
It's completely
unconnected to the message of the future's female. But there's something so intriguing about the shirt. It's sweeping the nation. We've actually sold over 1,000 of them. So they're in America. So buy them. And that's all I've got to plug for right now.
Incredible. Well, I have nothing to plug other than this podcast and, of course, Threedom, which is the podcast that I do with Paul F. Tompkins and Lauren Lapkus, not Lauren Krapkus. That is a different podcast. You can get those on Thursdays. Subscribe to that. That's more Paul and Lauren and I having fun and telling stories and playing games. All right, let's close up the old plug.
Excuse me.
What?
Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Jake, I didn't think you
Sully
had it.
Has some things to plug.
I didn't think you had anything to plug. You're a fake. You're
yeah,
not,
you're not
I mean,
like human or anything.
Well,
like,
I have some things to plug.
Oh, okay. Oh, off game?
I beg your pardon.
And it better not be a braid because that's gross.
Don't yeah. It's not a braid, is it?
I would like to plug Avatar 2.
Okay.
All right.
Avatar 3, 4, 5, 6.
Sure.
Get that out of the way.
You just want to say you're braid, don't you?
As a CGI character who considers my billionaire director father to be a comedic sidekick, I really love what they're doing on the George Lucas talk show.
Okay.
We already plugged that.
We plugged this.
God, I had such a good dismount going.
I'll say something else.
This CGI guy sucks.
Most of these movie podcasts out there make the same jokes that you did. Who remembers Avatar? No one cares anymore. There's one movie podcast out there that did an episode on Avatar that was really positive, and everyone else on the internet uses it to clown on them. But Plank Check with Griffin and David did a pro-Avatar episode, and people are still like, why do you listen to those guys' opinions? They like Avatar. Clearly, they're easy lays. I think they're smart and open-minded.
Do they ever talk about 61 asterisk, like in their Barry Pepper season?
No, that would be for a Billy Crystal season. Forget Paris and 61. And I have one last thing I want to plug here. Let me just look at my list. Oh, yes. I'd like to plug my braid into someone else's braid. McBaby's cloud.
Okay, let's close up the old plug bag. All right.
When you see something open, get a rope up and start to twist. Then you find that you're getting a little eye mist. You think you're crying and you know what to do. Get up in there and do what you do. You gotta open up the bubble. Open it up. Open up the bubble. Make sure it's not closed. Open up the bubble. Make sure you got eyes against
them. And don't mess around with it.
Yeah. Make sure you don't mess around. Don't mess around. You make your room. Don't mess around. 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 Don't mess around.
Open that shit.
That's all good song.
Oh, God.
Wow. That was
incredible.
That was incredible. That was the That's a Good Song remix by Scott Ralston. Wow, that was great.
I wish America could have seen Dulce's face while four adult men danced around in their chairs to that song like it was a real bop. The confusion, I can't believe we just, that's embarrassing to me. I
guess. Girl,
yeah.
They were
yeah,
really
I apologize,
having...
but I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I'm a guest in this house. I took my shoes off when I got to the door. You know,
yeah.
I keep all thoughts and feelings to myself because I didn't pay no rent here. You know what I mean? You don't want to be
disrespectful. There's also whores in this house.
There's some whores in this house, Scott.
You know what?
We haven't taken ecstasy yet,
Scott. You know, I don't
want
to hold y'all. You know, it's just runs through you just to hear a man quote.
I hate to do this, but one of the Avatar movies will be called Wapatar.
No, that's not. I mean, that doesn't sound good.
Starring Cardi B
We're
and
going
Megan
deeper.
Thee Stallion.
Yeah, yes. You've got to cast Cardi B, or else I'm not watching.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And do you know who the villain is?
Who?
DJ Khaled.
Yeah. That makes sense.
All right.
Avatar.
Avatar. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.